Chapter 58. Amanda. In the half hour since they had left Scott, neither Amanda nor Billy had spoken. There was a pressure inside the prison, and Amanda felt as though any word that escaped her lips would stay there, suspended in the heavy air, and for all to hear forever. Billy must have sensed it too. It wasn't until they'd left the complex and were strolling through the parking lot that Amanda started to feel the pressure ease. They reached Billy's escalade, got inside, and as the doors closed, Amanda let out a long sigh. Billy started the car. Dolly Parton played on the stereo. Billy loved Dolly Parton.
"You did great," said Billy.
"Don't get your hopes up yet. Let's wait and see if he comes through with anything. You're right, it's really scary going in there."
"Yeah, but it feels good leaving the place."
Amanda checked her phone. There was another missed call from Pharaoh, but nothing else. She'd had to turn it off when she put it in the locker in the visitor center. Billy drove out of the lot onto Correctional Facility Road and soon found Sawmill River Parkway, which flows into the Henry Hudson Parkway that hugs the river all the way back to Manhattan and 79th Street. Just the feeling of being able to walk out of that prison gave Amanda a sense of accomplishment. She prayed she would never have to go back. If she had to spend the rest of her life in a place like that, she knew she wouldn't be able to cope. Her good knee bounced her heel off the floor of the car with nervous energy. Every second in there had been hard, and going outside, gazing at the river and watching New York fly by the window, it helped. Billy talked a little, pointing out some local landmarks or good sandwich joints across the river in New Jersey. All the while, Dolly begged Jolene not to take her man, and then made her living 9 to 5. Occasionally, Billy would sing along, low, just under his breath. He was out of tune, but that didn't matter. His enjoyment was enough. Amanda found herself relaxing into the leather seat, and for a time, she forgot the police were looking for her, that she had been manipulated into almost killing a man, that she was getting sued, that her husband and little girl were gone, and that the man responsible would never pay for what he'd done. It was a short period of respite, 30 minutes by the time they got back into Midtown. And during that time, she was content to be in a car with a good man who was willing to help her. She was not alone with her troubles, and there was still music and life despite everything.
"Thank you," said Amanda.
"For what?"
asked Billy.
"For being a good man."
"I'm not that good. I'm cooking meatloaf for dinner tonight. I think it would be wise to reserve your judgment until then. You might want to report me to the cops after that one."
"How bad could it be?"
"It's a crime against meatloaf, but I try."
Amanda's phone rang. The display lit up a phone number she didn't recognize. For a second, she thought Pharaoh might be trying her on a number she didn't know, just in case she was avoiding his calls. But she couldn't take the chance of missing a call from Scott's friend. She picked up.
"Is this Amanda White?"
said a voice. It was male, and it wasn't Pharaoh.
"Yes, this is Amanda. Is this Jack?"
"I don't talk on cell phones, lady. Get to a payphone. Call me on this number in the next 10 minutes.
Billy had heard the conversation, and he was already pulling over into a parking space. They got out of the car, looked up and down the street.
"There,"
said Billy, pointing to a bank of payphones on the corner. They were a lot scarcer these days. Amanda made for the payphone, and Billy started fishing in his pockets for change. He brought a newspaper with him from the back seat in case she needed to take notes. He set a small stack of quarters on top of the phone hood. Amanda inserted the change, dialed the number.
"Hello, Jack?"
"Look, lady, I don't know who you are, so I prefer if you didn't use names, okay?"
"All right, sure, I'm sorry."
"Look, if the cops ever ask you about me, don't tell them anything. I was helping out my buddy's wife when she came to me looking for IDs. She'd been through hell, so had her husband. Anything I could do to give her a fresh start, well, I was gonna damn well do that. I didn't charge her any money, it was a favor for a friend. So there's no need to mention my name if any of this gets to the cops. Agreed?"
"Agreed."
"I'm making this call for the same friend. I'm doing this for him, not you. Look, I made some calls, got a list of IDs to give you. I'm gonna read them out. The names and dates of birth. Got a pen?
Amanda made a sign to Billy that she needed to write something down. Billy reached into his shirt pocket for a pen and gave it to Amanda along with the folded newspaper. She listened carefully, wrote down the names and dates of birth, checking the spelling of a few of the names. She wrote down 10.
That's all I got. Those are the most recent. Don't call this number again.
The line went dead.
What do we do now? Asked Amanda.
I'll get this to the private investigator. He has access to credit check facilities, databases, and all kinds of online records I don't know about.
Is that legal?
That's a question I've never asked, and I don't want to know the answer to. It's hard enough to sleep as it is.
That's fair, said Amanda.
Billy made the call from his cell, read out the names and dates of birth, and spelled out some of the surnames. He hung up, said,
My guy says give him 3 hours. I asked him to hurry, but that's the best he can do.
Amanda checked the time on her phone. It was almost 4 in the afternoon. Billy looked around, pointed to a pizza parlor across the street.
I'm going to show you some mercy tonight. Let's go get some pie while we wait. We'll take a rain check on the meatloaf.